Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Shazan Goodjohnny. Please go ahead, sir.
It's Chigani. Thank you, Jessica, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Diagnostic Tooling Framework for Java and Dump Analyzer Tool. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the meeting, you'll see the presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen, select makeshift area full screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, or if you'd like to download a copy of the presentation, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access this presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 7010390 in the search box found at the very top right of the page. Once again, that number is 7010390. This call is being recorded, so you can play it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's sessions, the lines will open for a question-and-answer period. Today's presenter is Daniel Julin. Daniel has 20 years' experience developing and troubleshooting complex online systems. As a technical area lead for the WebSphere serviceability team, he currently focuses on helping the team define and implement a collection of tools and techniques to assist in problem determination for WebSphere application server and maximize the efficiency of IBM support. He has also occasionally assisted directly in various critical customer support situations. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Daniel.
Okay, thank you, Shazan. Can you hear me? Am I not muted?
I'm perfect.
Okay, sounds good. All right, welcome. So this is Dan Jolin. What I want to speak to you about today is this technology called DTFJ, Diagnostic Tooling Framework for Java. It's essentially an emerging technology that we're working on jointly between my team, the WebSphere Serviceability team, and the IBM Java Technology Center that builds the IBM Java implementations. And it's a technology that we expect will help considerably in problem determination for all Java-based applications in IBM, including WebSphere and other Java-based applications. So if we may switch to page number two, I guess. Okay, so just to map out what we'll talk about today, at a very high level, one of the main things I want to convey today is we use the word DTFJ in a very broad sense. It's actually both a technology, a general-purpose technology to build a lot of different tools, and then there's a number of existing tools that we're making available with this technology. So I guess the agenda for today will follow roughly that division. I want to speak about the technology in general a little bit, then speak about the tools that you can use today, and then hopefully speak about some of the directions, you know, the things we're thinking about doing in the future, and then open for questions, and then hopefully get some feedback from you even about some of the things we should do in the future. So chart three. So just talking about the technology, talk about the DTFJ family in general and a little bit of the API. Go to chart four. Okay. So I think, as I said, you know, we just use the acronym because, you know, the full name is just too long. But, you know, DTFJ does stand for Diagnostic Tooling Framework for Java, and it's essentially a set of software capabilities that have been developed jointly by IBM Java Technology Center and WebSphere. These are capabilities that are being added to the IBM JDK that help us analyze problems into Java applications. So in a nutshell, it's basically a way for us to go look at an artifact, currently a core dump or a system dump generated by a JVM, and examine that dump and figure out all kinds of things about what was going on inside that JVM at the time when it generated the dump, and help us troubleshoot problems that were occurring in that in that JVM. And as I said, one of the main things I want to get out of here is, of this presentation is that there's the technology in general, and you can build your own tools using that technology. And we're also building not just one tool, but a whole family of tools based on that technology. Let's see. I put a lot of text here, but I usually prefer, and I put the text for people who may look at that presentation, you know, offline without, you know, without the voice presentation. But I mostly prefer to work off of a picture. So, talking about the components of the family, the main things we have to talk about is the JExtract tool, the DTFJ library itself, and the tools. And maybe we should do that on the picture. So, to switch to page 5. Okay. So, this is a let's see. What is it? A typical picture of a typical use of DTFJ technology and tools. So if you follow this, I'm sorry, I guess I can't point on this e-meeting here, but if you follow this from left to right, the way things would typically work is assume you have a JVM, some sort of Java virtual machine. It could be, would typically be a WebSphere application server instance, but it could also be some JVM running something other than WebSphere. And at some point in time, that JVM will generate what we call a system dump, which is typically on Unix, it's a core file. On Windows, it's a Windows dump file. On ZOS, it's usually called an SVC dump. So for whatever reason, either because the JVM crashed or because we decided that something strange was going on and we intentionally triggered a dump, but for whatever reason, we caused the JVM to generate that system dump file or core file. What we do then is we use, there's a tool that is shipped, an executable that is shipped with the JDK itself. It's called JExtract. And you run that tool, JExtract, against that system dump file. And then what it will do is it will convert that system dump file, which is very platform dependent, into a platform independent file. It will collect it in a zip file, collect some additional information about the system, do some pre-processing, do whatever work needs to be done to capture the platform-specific information that we need to analyze that file. And the output of that JExtract tool is a file. It's either a file that ends in .sdff if you are running on the 142 JDK, or a file that ends in .zip, just a zip file if you're running on the more modern JDK, the 5.0 or the 6.0 JDK, that you can then analyze. And I should point, this step is the only step, this JExtract step, that is a step that you should be performing on the same machine where the dump was generated, because this is the step that deals with all the machine-specific information. But that is the only thing that you need to do on the machine where the dump was generated, and it's hopefully a fairly fast step. So you get that the JExtract output file. What you can do then is you can take that file to any other machine, even across platforms. You can take a system dump from a Windows machine and take it over to a ZOS machine for analysis or vice versa once you have that platform-independent file. So you take that platform-independent file to the machine where you're going to do the analysis, and there you feed that file to what we call the DTFJ core library. That's a library that's provided by the JDK and that reads the contents of that file and exports the information contained in that file through a standard API called the DTFJ API. And that's a standard API. It doesn't matter how the file was generated. It doesn't matter which platform it came from. It doesn't matter which version of the JDK. You get that information exported through that standard DTFJ API. And then on top of that API, we build a number of tools to perform various interesting functions, interesting diagnostics from that dump. So today I will speak mostly about the main tool we are making available today, a tool called Dump Analyzer. I'll talk about another tool briefly called DTFJ View that some of you may have seen, some other tools, Thread Analyzer I'll mention. A key point here, though, is that this DTFJ API is a public API. You're welcome to go and write your own tools for, you know, any interesting functions you may think of, or any specific products or things that you have to deal for, you know, analysis in your applications, for instance. It's an open API. You can build any tool you want on this. Switch to page 6. Okay, so why do we do this? It's essentially it's an effort at making it more easier to build sophisticated problem determination capabilities. You know, if you look at historically how, you know, the field of problem determination in Java, there's been historically, there's a lot of different kinds of artifacts that are produced by JVM at different times. It can produce a system dump, it can produce a heap dump, it can produce a Java core. The format of these artifacts changes over time. It tends to be different from one platform to another. It's been different. At times it's changed from one version of the JVM to another. And as a result, there's also, I mean, there were some good historical reasons for that, but, you know, it does create quite a bit of confusion. As a result, there's a lot of tools that are ad hoc tools that only work on some platforms or some versions or some circumstances. So that's what we're trying to address with DTFJ here. We're trying to provide a common ground, a single API, so that you can build tools against that common API, and that common API isolates you from the details of the format of whatever file you're reading, whatever JVM version you're reading from, so that you can hopefully build your tool once and have one tool work with all versions of the JVM, all platforms, all formats, or all type of artifacts. So it should be clear, I hope, that this is going to make it a lot easier to write. Rather than spend a lot of time rewriting simple tools each time for a new format, we hope to write more sophisticated tools once and have more time to write more powerful tools.
Switch to page 7, I guess.
All right. So just briefly, I won't go into a lot of details here. The DTFJ API, by the way, as I said, it's an open API. It is documented. If you get a recent version of the IBM JDK, it's in the Java doc that's provided with that JDK. So in a nutshell, I'll give you some idea what you do with that API. So as I said, you know, it works on all platforms, all versions of JVM, and even to some extent works on processes other than JVM. You can think of it as a layered API. So you can use that API. Some of the functions of that API are to provide information about the low-level system that generated the system dump. You can find out what CPU it's running, what the version of the operating system, how much physical memory, that kind of thing. One layer up, you can use that API to obtain information about operating system-level entities in that system dump. So you can find all the libraries that were loaded, you can find the command line, you can find the threads, you can find the stacks of the threads in a uniform way, those kinds. You can find the registers, all these operating system level entities. And if that process that you're analyzing through the DTFJ API happens to be a Java virtual machine, you can also use a function of the APIs that gives you access to JVM, Java-level entities. So you can use that API to look at things like the Java objects that are currently in that JVM, the classes, the Java threads, which may not be the same as the operating system threads, the heaps, the monitors, all these Java-level entities, and find out what's going on at the Java level. Okay, page 8. Okay, thank you. So again, I won't go through some examples, just to show you we tried hard to make this quite simple. So I won't dissect this code with you. This is just a simple example of how you would use that API. So, you know, just very briefly, if you look at here, at the top, you have a function. You use a DTFJ factory to read a dump file, and it returns an image object. And on that image object, if you go to, access the process, from that image object, you can call a function called getAddressSpace, which shows you what address spaces may be present in that process. Once you get an address space and a process object, you can call a function like getThreads that will give you the list of threads that are present in the process. Once you have a thread object, you can call a function called getStackFrames to give you the list of stack frames associated with that thread. So hopefully you get the idea of the way we use that that API, and we can use it to build arbitrarily complex analysis functions based on that. Switch to page 9. So where does this work? So this is it for the high-level technology, essentially, that API that we now provide that we can build tools against, right? Where does this exist? So this is something we've been working on for a while internally and developing, and we've now made it available. That DTFJ technology, the DTFJ library in the API, is shipped with the IBM JDK on several versions. You know, anything on JDK 1.4.2 starting with service release 4, I think that was about a year ago, and also on all current versions of the IBM JDK 1.5.0. So for people, for WebSphere, this is, you know, this being the WebSphere support conference. In WebSphere terms, that means that this technology is available to you if you're running WebSphere 5.1, 6.0, or 6.1, and obviously onwards, and that on all the IBM JDK platforms, you know, AIX, Linux, Windows, EOS, et cetera, both 32-bit and 64-bit. And this is something that, so if you're running a recent enough JDK, one, you know, probably about from about a year ago at the longest, you have that technology, and it's fully supported. This is something that's part of the JDK. It is supported like any other function of the JDK that you may be using. You can open PMRs against it or ask for assistance or whatever you need to. That's for the low-level technology. The tools, on the other hand, are a different story. There's a variety of tools, and the tools must be obtained separately, and what I'll do in the rest of this presentation is show you some of the tools and explain where you obtain each of these tools and how each of these tools works and is supported. One other thing here. So, hopefully, I think we do see some customers that are still on fairly older versions of the JDK that are, you know, older than the places where official support for DTFJ started, although we obviously don't recommend being at these older versions, but it happens for a variety of practical reasons. You are welcome to try using the DTFJ tools on some of these older JDK. They may very well work. We're just not in a position to make any guarantees. And in practice, what I found is that it usually doesn't fail completely, but it doesn't work as well. It provides less information, so that the quality of the information that you'll get will just get better, depending on how you better and better the more recent of the JDK that you use. And one last thing. In terms of IBM, of non-IBM JDKs, as I mentioned, this is a technology built by IBM. Today, it's only available on the IBM platform, on the IBM JDKs, on the IBM platforms. We are working to extend that technology and make it available on other platforms, although at this time, I can't really say anything in particular other than that. This is something we've been considering and discussing with other vendors. Okay. So switch to page 10, I guess.
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to IBM.com and typing 701-0390 in the search box at the very top of the page. A technical document with the PDF will display. Thank you. I'll now return the presentation back to Daniel.
Thank you. Okay, patient. So let's talk about the tools, and, you know, mostly I'll speak about the dump analyzer tool is the main tool that we are promoting for use with DTFJ, and talk about a few other tools like DTFJ View and Threat Analyzer. So switch to page 11. Okay, so the main tool that we've made available it's been out for about 3 or 4 months now is Dump Analyzer. We just call it Dump Analyzer, but the full legal name is IBM Dump Analyzer for Java. And it's the primary tool that we're trying to develop and grow as our primary tool for doing problem determination on things that happen in a JVM. And it's essentially a conversion. Some of you may have worked with an older tool that we never officially released, but it's been using informally called DTFJ Dump Reporter. So this is a conversion of that older tool and some new ideas and new efforts in the Java Technology Center and WebSphere Serviceability. So it's a new primary tool. The goal of that tool, basically the basic idea of that tool is we're trying to provide a tool that is as automated as possible. Ideally, we'd like you to get a system dump from your JVM, you run the dump analyzer tool, you don't need to interact with it or know much about what it's doing. It just reads the dump, and if at all possible, it tells you right there and then what the problem is, and you don't need any particular knowledge or to do any particular manual work to identify the problem. So the goal is if we can find a problem automatically, we do so, and we give you a short information, just what you need to know about the problem that was just detected. That's, of course, not always possible. That's the idea, and I think we're making some inroads in there for some of the most common problems. There will always be more complex problems that cannot be automated, so the goal really is detect the simple stuff if we can right off the bat, and if not, give you access to additional information and additional functions such that someone more expert or more experienced in diagnosing the JVM can use that information to figure out manually using human intelligence what the problem was. And we're also planning for that tool to grow over time so that we are primarily focusing on JVM-level problems today, out-of-memory issues, crashes, deadlocks, but we hope to extend that tool so that it can be used for other types of problems in the future, in particular web server problems. Since we have now a tool that lets us look at the contents of a JVM, there's a lot of web server data structures, or web server application server data structures, or even portal or process service, other products running on top of the JVM. We can use that same tool to examine the state of these products and diagnose problems. Okay, so page 12. Okay, so just briefly about the architecture of this. So as I said, and I think I'm hitting that nail pretty strongly. We really are aiming for an extensible tool here, not a monolithic tool that does only one thing and will be very hard to extend to other things. So this tool is built in a very modular manner. It's really a collection of small analysis modules where each module looks at one particular aspect of the dump and can answer some very simple questions like, you know, is the JIT active or is there another memory problem or is this a web server dump? And we use these small modules and we combine them either through scripting or by building other Java modules that call the smaller Java modules. But the idea is to build the complex functions by assembling small components. It's not a new idea in software engineering in general. This is just applying this to the field of problem determination. So we're building complex functions by combining small modules, and we hope that way to be able to build more and more complex functions over time by continue to build up the stack and up our collection of modules. And, you know, at the end, at the top level, these modules essentially produce a report, which will either be a small piece of text saying, I found your problem, it's a deadlock in the following place. That's just the small text that we provide. And if they can't do that, they provide a longer report giving you, well, I didn't find your problem, but, you know, here's a lot of information that I found that I think may be relevant to your problem. And, you know, you, Mr. Human Being, you be the judge of what to make out of this. So switch to page 13. Okay, so enough for the theoretical stuff here. Let's talk about how we use the tool in practice. So the tool is being made available through IBM Support Assistant. Let's see. I put that text here again for people who might be looking at the charts without the voiceover. But it's probably better to work on it to look at this through an example in screenshot. So let's switch to page 14. Okay. So, as I said, Dump Analyze being made available through IBM Support Assistant. Now, I'm hoping most people on this call are already know what IBM Support Assistant is. I think there have been other presentations about IBM Support Assistant in general, so I won't go into the details of that here. Just for people, if somebody are not quite familiar with it, just in general, IBM Support Assistant is an application that's been provided by IBM. It's a free download. You can get it for free as a download from the IBM Support website, and it's also shipped on the CDs for many products that IBM now sells. So it's a free application that you get with your product. And it's an application that we try to provide a single platform to concentrate a lot of problem determination tools for many products, support something like 140 different products or product versions today, so that there's this single application that you go to where you can find information about all the products, how to troubleshoot all the products that you have, access all the problem determination tools for all the products that you have so that you don't have to remember 6 dozen places where problem determination tools may exist and 6 dozen places. There's 6 dozen different ways to install different tools. The idea is you go to one place, IBM Support Assistant, and for all your products and all your problem determination needs, you find them in that one place. So Dump Analyzer is taking advantage of this. If you have IBM Support installed, when you install IBM Support Assistant at first, it's an extensible platform, so it starts with nothing. It's a pluggable platform. It starts with nothing installed. The first thing you have to do is install the tools that you want to use in there. So you would normally install IBM the Dump Analyzer tool. So this would look like the screenshot here. So you're in IBM Support Assistant. You would go on the top line here, you see a few different main functions for IBM Support Assistant. I circled the updater function.
So you click on Updater, and that will show you the screen that you see here. That is the screen that you use to install new plugins and refresh the plugins that you have in IBM Support Assistant. On the second row, you would circle the New Plugin tab. That will show you this list of other plugins that you have not already installed that are available for you to install to extend the functions of IBM Support Assistant. And I apologize, it doesn't seem to be very readable on the e-meeting, but it's quite readable on the PDF file that was made available, I believe. But this is a list of plugins. It's a tree, and under the Common Component Tools, you open that, and you will see the IBM Dump Analyzer for Java tool, the tool that I'm talking about here. You click on that, you click Install, and it installs the tool. And from now on, that tool is installed in your IBM Support Assistant. You don't have to do this again, ever again. You know, it's in your IBM Support Assistant. You can use it. Also, if we ever release a new version of this tool, you can go back to this panel. Instead of going to New Plugin, you can go to Available Plugin Updates, and IBM Support Assistant provides you an easy way to refresh the version of your tool, get a new version of the tool. You don't have to reinstall it explicitly or figure out a lot of when a new version exists or how to install it. So, having done that, you have Dump Analyzer installed in IBM Support Assistant. We can switch to page 15. Once you have it installed, normally what you would do in ISA, you have a number of functions again, and in this case, you would go on the top row, you would go to the Tools panel. This is the tool. This is the panel that you use to invoke problem determination tools. So you click on Tools. Now, one thing that confuses people sometimes is IBM Support Assistant has that notion of product. So you actually configure a number of products that you will use IBM Support Assistant for, and in this case, if you look on the left column, you see that I've configured it. I've installed IBM JDK, two versions of the IBM JDK, the IBM WebServe for real time, four versions of IBM WebServe application servers. These are the products that I've installed plugins for in ISA, and then for each product, the tools are associated with products. So for each product, you select a product, and then you see the tools that are available for this product. So in this case, Dump Analyzer happens to be associated with all the versions of WebServe and all the IBM JDK. So if you select any of these products there on the left, you will see the list. On the right, you will see the list of tools available for that product, and that one of these tools is the Dump Analyzer tool. So you just click on that link there, and that will pop up a new window that looks like page 16. Can you switch to page 16, please? Okay. So this is the startup window for the Dump Analyzer for Java tool. It's pretty simple. Basically, what you do is you specify the name of a dump file, and that has to be, if you remember what I said earlier in this presentation, this is the file that you would have obtained by running jextract on a raw system dump. You run jextract, and you get this machine, platform-independent file. That's the file that you provide as input to the Dump Analyzer tool. So you put that in the name of the dump to analyze, and basically that's all you do. There's a field for optional parameters, which you normally leave blank for the default function. In a second, I'll tell you some of the things you could put there to modify the tool, but the operational tool, but mostly you leave it blank, and you click on that estimate time button. Now, and that switched to page 17. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I should warn you there, we are trying our best to estimate how long or an analysis will take, because some of these analyses, frankly, can take a long time. They can take even several hours, depending on if it's it's a large dump from a large web application server, and there's a lot of complex information in there, it can take several hours. So we try to estimate that. To be frank, in the current version of the tool, that's rather preliminary. It's very hard to actually estimate how long it will take. What we can do is we can estimate based purely on the size of the dump, but the time of the analysis will also depend on what we find in that dump once we look into it. If it's a 1 gigabyte file that contains a single object, that's a 1 gigabyte object, well, it can be analyzed very quickly. If it's a 1 gigabyte file that contains a billion objects, it will take a lot longer to analyze. So we can't always estimate that very well, and in practice today, that time analysis may be way off with something we're working on. But so anyway, you get a guess as to how long it will take. There it says here the estimate would take 12 seconds. and you click the Analyze button and switch to page 18. Okay, so you click the Analyze button, and that's when the tool actually runs. And so it may run for 12 seconds or a few minutes or a few hours, depending on the type of, you know, what we find in that dump and the kind of analysis that we do, and do we find a particular problem right away, or do we have to search very deep into that dump to find a problem. But it will run for a while, and eventually you will see that screen like that on this page. And basically what you see, you know, near the bottom of the screen, you see the report that was generated for the tool. And in this case, this was a simple case where the tool detected a deadlock. And so what we try to do is show you as succinctly as possible the key information you need to know about that deadlock. So we show you error summary. We tell you a deadlock that was detected. We give you exactly where that deadlock was detected. And further down, we give you more information, more detailed information about this deadlock if you were to scroll down. And that's basically the main function of the tool. Now, let's talk about a few of the other things it can do. Switch to page 19. Thank you. Okay, so as I said, you know, the intent of the tool is to be as automated as possible, so to do as much as possible without asking questions. It's always going to be something that gets better over time as we can do more and more things over time, and it's really, I view it as a multi-stage, you know, process. So the first choice, you know, if you run the tool by default, the first choice is it runs its general purpose script that tries to detect common problems automatically. And today the default script that's in there will detect deadlocks, will detect out of memory conditions, and will detect JVM crashes and give you information about those. Those it will do automatically and give you that succinct output like I showed earlier. If it doesn't find one of these common problems, it will fall back to the second mode in which it will give you a much more detailed report. I call it a summary report, but it's still fairly detailed. In fact, it's relatively similar to a Java core that gives you a lot of information about the state of that JVM that a human being can examine, and it will do that automatically. If a human being looks at that report and figures out the problem, great. If that's not good enough, you fall back to the next stage. You can go and reuse the tool, but instead of letting it do its default things, you know, check for problem, you know, simple problems by default and give you the default report, you can tell the tool to specifically run a particular analyzer that looks for a particular thing or provides a particular piece of information that's not provided by default, and we're building a library of these specialized analyzers. I'll show you a couple of examples of those in a second. So switch to page 20. Okay, so this is just, again, I won't go into the details of this, but this is just the example of the output that you see when there's a deadlock. This is the same thing that was inside that window, that screenshot that I showed from running the tool in the simple case. So switch to page 21. And this is an example of the default report that you get if we didn't find any one of the three common problems, the deadlock, the out of memory, or the JVM crash. We'll give you a report like this. This is, again, just an example. It should give you the idea that it's fairly detailed. I won't dissect it, but if you switch to page 22, I can show you, briefly what this contains. As I mentioned, it's relatively similar to the information that you find in a Java core file, except that you get this from a system core. It contains some additional information you cannot find in a Java core, and it contains information that's in cases where the JVM did not produce a Java core. So kinds of things you see there, you know, this basic information about the process. You find all the initialization arguments from the JVM. You can find all the libraries. You can find all the memory areas in the process, all the threads, monitors, heaps, etc. We could probably have an entire other talk to talk about the various pieces of information you find in there and how you interpret them. Switch to page 23. Okay, so I mentioned that if the standard checks don't find any problem and the default report didn't provide the information that you want, you can specifically ask for other information to be provided by the tool. And that's where that field called additional parameters that I showed in the screenshot for invoking the tool. And I said, you normally leave that field blank and the tool does its default thing. Well, you don't have to leave that field blank. You can put some specific analyzer in there and say, don't run the default function, run a specific analyzer. And so some of these specific analyzers, you specify them by their class name, by the way, today. So there's a growing collection of these. There's actually more of the. Here are four examples that we've made available. There's actually more of them even in the tool today that are experimental, and we expect to release new ones constantly. But so some of the examples, you can get a report that's more detailed by than the default by saying default dump report dash level 2 or dash level 3. That will give you more information. One example that I particularly like is that the list zip jars analyzer. That came from an observation that a relatively common problem, a problem that we see a number of people have, is when they accidentally load some third-party libraries that interfere with the operation of WebSphere, or that they did not expect a particular version of some XML parser library or some security library or some other thing, some other library to be loaded. So we're wondering, how can we diagnose that? Well, we built an analyzer called listzipjars that reads the dump file and figures out what are all the zip files and jar files that have currently been opened in that JVM. So you can look at that list and say, whoa, I didn't expect that particular jar file to have been read. That must be part of my problem. So that's an example of a non-standard analyzer, non-default analyzer. Let's see, what else do I have in here? System properties goes through the dump and figures out what all the current values of all the system properties in effect in your JVM is. And what's basic info? That's someone I just put there, frankly, as an illustration. This is still very experimental, and we keep developing it more. But it's a first example of how you can use that same technology. This thing will read a system dump from a WebSphere application server and give you some basic information about the state of this from a WebSphere perspective. So we'll tell you, well, you know, these are the applications that are currently installed and their state. This is the state of the WebSphere threat pool. This is, you know, how many requests are currently outstanding in the WebSphere container, in the EJB container and in the web container, those kinds of things. And it should be obvious that we're going to be growing these things over time. Switch to page 24. Okay, quickly now, I think I'm running out of time, but quickly now, just to help you in practice, some of the problems you may encounter when you use that tool. We observe that tool. We have been using that tool internally at IBM for a while now, and so we observe the patterns of problems that people find in that, when using it. So, just so you know, some of the things may happen. Something that happens fairly frequently is we see people trying to use the tool with a truncated dump file, and the reason for that is because on some platforms, when you cause a JVM to generate a system dump, you don't always get a correct system dump. Many platforms will truncate it. For instance, if the U limit on Unix is set too low, you may get a truncated core file, and that will cause the tool to fail, obviously. So there are tech notes on the IBM website giving you instructions how to avoid these truncated files, some system configuration to make on each platform to avoid this problem. We're also working on making the tool more robust against these situations. Let's see, what else? We do see some confusion sometimes, people trying to use the tool on unsupported file format. Just to be clear, we are working on other formats, but today the tool can only work on a system dump that has been processed by JExtract. So this tool cannot be used for reading Java core or heap dumps or other types of file formats. Tool may take a long time to run. Well, I mentioned that already. So, you know, sometimes, depending on the complexity of the dump, the tool may take, you know, up to several hours sometimes for complex dump. Just a small tip here, the fastest thing you can do with this tool, if you just want to see if the dump is any good, is run the default dump report at level 1. Don't run the default script. Just go straight to the default dump report, and that will give you a short summary of what's in that JVM, and that should be the fastest thing you can do. Let's see, what else? Sometimes the tool, you'll see in those reports, sometimes some information is missing, and it'll be tagged with things like null or unavailable or corrupted. That is usually not a problem in the tool. That is simply unavoidable. This is something because a system dump that gets generated by a process on various operating systems may or may not contain various pieces of information. It depends on the platforms. It depends on the circumstances of how the dump was generated. It depends on the circumstance of the dump being generated. It depends on what was going on at the time in the JVM. Some information may exist or may not exist. So the tool only reports what's there, and when something's not there, it just says that particular piece of information is not available, and we go on and provide you everything else that we can. And finally, this is a little plug that I like to do. We always have people telling us, well, this is great, but can, you know, I need another piece of information that's not provided in the default report or some of the reports that are provided. That is very much the direction we want to go with this tool, is we want to make it possible to write new analyzers constantly to provide other pieces of information, do other analysis. So if you find something that you find you think is important to get out of the dump that, you know, we're not providing, A, let us know, but also we want in the near future to enable people in IBM and outside to write their own analyzers. We're going to publish the, we published the DTFJ API already, and we're going to publish the higher level APIs to use the tool, so you can write your own specialized analyzer if you have a great idea for something to do. And let's switch to page 25. Okay, so that's it for a, I guess, a whirlwind tour of the dump analyzer tool. Just briefly, you know, a couple of other tools that we, that you may have encountered. DTFJ View. So I guess it's almost the opposite of dump analyzer. Dump analyzer's main goal is to be a tool that's very automated. You run the tool and it tries to find a problem automatically as much as possible and only falls back to asking for human intervention if it couldn't find anything automatically. And it has its limits, of course. You know, automation can't always do everything. DTFJ View is almost the opposite perspective. DTFJ View doesn't try to do anything automatically. It's more like a debugger. DTFJ View opens the dump, gives you a command prompt, and says, okay, what do you want to do? And you can do by hand. An expert can go look at every piece of every object, every data structure in that dump and figure out the things the old-fashioned way by hand. So that tool is not widely available, but it is available through some channels. If you get WebSphere for real-time, for instance, one IBM product, it's shipped with that product already, and we are considering shipping it as a standard add-on to some in some future JDK releases. If you have that tool, it's just a jar file. Here are the instructions. You know, you just run it as a Java program, and it gives you a command line prompt, and some of the commands are similar to a debugger. You say info thread for a list of threads, info class for a list of classes, whatever. One of my favorite commands is x/j. That's to examine the contents of an object. I couldn't resist showing that. I show it in every presentation I give. If you go to page 26, obviously, you know, I won't go to details of this, but this is, you know, this is an example. Should give you an idea of the kinds of things you can do with this. This is just a shell window on my machine in which I ran x/j, and I specified the name of an object that happens to be com IBM WS runtime component EJB container impl, because I happen to know that is the name of a class that is used in the implementation of the EJB container in WebSphere. And the result is a dump of all the instances of that object that exist in the JVM. There's only one, and all the values of all the fields in that object. So it should be obvious that for somebody who understands the internals of WebSphere or of your application, you can use that to go at a low level of detail and figure out what's going on. Page 27. Okay, so even more quickly, some tools you may have, other tools you may have encountered. Thread Analyzer actually predates the DTFJ-based tools. Thread Analyzer existed for a few years and was originally a tool that reads a Java core file, not a system dump, and provides you a GUI view of that Java core and does some automatic analysis like deadlock analysis or bottleneck analysis of that Java core. What we have been working on now, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, trying to use DTFJ as a standardized technology to make it easier to organize all the tools, we are refactoring Thread Analyzer so that it uses DTFJ internally to read Java cores and to read system dumps. So that means that Thread Analyzer becomes more modular and it can run system dumps as well as Java cores, and any modules that we write on top of DTFJ can run in Thread Analyzer as well. So that has not been made widely available yet, but there is a beta version out, and you may have encountered it, and we continue to work on developing that tool. Other tool I mentioned, the Dump Reporter, that's a tool some of you may have seen that was not formally released, but it has been made available on a case-by-case basis in some support situations. That is now being replaced by the Dump Analyzer. Switch to page 28. Okay, so just talking about the future now, page 29. Okay, in terms of future direction, so as I said, so DTFJ is something we've been working on for a while, and it's here to stay. This is now a strategic direction for serviceability tooling for both WebSphere, you know, the WebSphere serviceability team and the JTC. So you can expect to continue to see this technology expand and new tools to be built. Specifically, what we're doing with this is think of this as four stages. Where we are today is essentially we have tooling for the simple JVM-level problems that I mentioned, hand crash, memory, and moving on from there. One of the things we're trying to do going beyond that is, I mentioned briefly already, is using that same technology to build diagnostic capabilities for things, built on top of the JVM. So I'd mentioned some examples of looking at WebSphere information out of a JVM. We intend to continue to build that up considerably and make DTFJ-based tools one of the primary tools for looking at the state of all kinds of IBM products working inside of a JVM. Another direction we're following is, so this is actually, I guess essentially it's moving GTFJ up the stack from the JVM to WebSphere application server to portal to other things built on top of it. We're also expanding DTFJ horizontally, making it able to deal with other file formats. So today it can only work with system dumps. I mentioned Thread Analyzer that is beginning to be released that can deal with Java cores using the same DTFJ technology. We're looking to expand that and use that same DTFJ standard API to deal with heap dumps and other types of artifacts that we can obtain from a JVM. And finally, even longer term, the promise of DTFJ that I mentioned in the motivation chart is to use it as a foundation to build tools in a more modular fashion so that what I like to say is, you know, rather than, you know, spend 6 months to write one tool as a monolithic tool, and when you have a new idea, you got to spend another 6 months writing another tool, I'd like to get to a mode where you have modular tools using DTFJ as their foundation, and whenever you have a new idea for some clever new tool or some clever analysis function, you don't spend 6 months writing a new tool. You spend an afternoon writing a new module that you add to an existing tool, and DTFJ is our enabler for that. Switch to page 23. Okay, so again, quickly, specifically about Dump Analyzer, future plans. We've released a version. The first version was released in April of this year to IBM Support Assistant. We just released, end of July, the second version with about 50 fixes, so that should, and new features, so that should, you know, make the point that we're actively working on this. We intend to continue to work on this, you know, have roughly quarterly release, add more modules, add more capabilities, do things like improving the performance. One of the things we're thinking of doing in this Dump Analyzer is actually add an interactive capability. So, again, as a fallback, if it doesn't find the problem automatically, it gives you a report. If the report isn't good enough, you can specify another predefined report. What if even that isn't good enough and you want to do things by hand, you can go to an interactive capability. Might look something like page 31. Okay, so this does not exist today, but this is the kind of things we're thinking about for DTF, for Dump Analyzer in the future. This is a potential user interface. We might provide some sort of tree view where you can navigate there and expand that tree to view different kind of information in your JVM. And switch to page 32. And I guess that's it for the main material for this presentation. So, you know, some of the key messages that I'm hoping to impart here is, you know, number one, there's a DTFJ technology, and it's a general-purpose technology that you can use to build a lot of tools and a lot of more powerful tools. Number two, we do have some tools available today already. You can use Dump Analyzer today to do your work. And number three, we're actively working on this, and you can expect to see more tools and more modules and more functions come out rapidly from IBM and hopefully from members of the user community based on DTFJ. And page 33, let's see. So I just provided here some links. These are just some links for information. If you want more information about DTFJ, I mean, you can refer to these, or you can ask, you know, you can also feel free to email me. And page 34, I think these are the standard links for. So the previous page was information about DTFJ, and these are some links about WebSphere support resources in general. And I guess I should stop here and ask if there are questions. Or
thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone. And we have a question from Mark Warden from IBM.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering, the DTFJ view function seems very attractive to me. How would I obtain that?
It is. If you have WebSphere for real time, it's in there. We may release it officially in a future version of the JDK. You can also get it straight as a beta, as an informal file from the JTC or from our team, if you wish. So, if you drop me a line after this call, I can give you a pointer, for instance.
Thank you.
And we're looking to provide similar functions in Dump Analyzer, by the way, but we're not quite there yet.
And there are no further questions. However, I would like to give everyone one final opportunity. That is star 1 on your touchtone telephone. And we have a question from Saheed Kapadia from Value Auction.
Is there any plan for integrating ITCAM with this dump analyzer?
We are talking to the ITCAM team, indeed. I cannot, pre-announce anything, here, but this is certainly something we're aware of, and we're looking at ways to do that, yes.
Okay.
Because they are in a very close field of providing platforms for tooling for monitoring and troubleshooting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This tool would be a good addition to ITCAM.
So, yep, we're definitely talking.
Okay, thanks.
And there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you, Mr. Shigani, for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Danielle, for presenting today.
Thank you.
This concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.